Hello, everyone, and welcome to JFG Tonight, where we will be watching the debate live. I believe it is in 1 minute that's starting, but...
Here in Atlanta, inside the presidential debate spin room, welcome to a very special edition of America Decides. Tonight, President Joe Biden and former President Donald Trump will take the stage here in Atlanta. It's the earliest televised general election debate.
All right, so hopefully it starts soon, but there are people who say it starts from in 2 hours. Hopefully we get a earlier start than this, because I was reading about it and they said that it was starting at 7 p.m. Eastern time. So we'll see. But until it starts, we can discuss what's to expect from tonight. Saturn Shine says, I thought Trump was in jail. How is he going to run for president? Well, definitely they've not put Trump in jail. And I think that the Democrats are starting to feel vertigo at the intensity of their persecution. And they may have realized along the way, hey, if we go too hard on him, if we really put him in jail, we're going to have a big problem. We will have favored his rise in popularity. We would have created a martyr. So people are saying 9 p.m. Eastern time. Well, that really sucks. I was sure that it was about to start. I might come back in 2 hours, because I really don't have... 2 hours of energy in me if then I have to stay with you guys 3 or 4 hours while the debate goes on. But yeah, I mean, for those who came, it is 9. I will still share my thoughts, perhaps, and then I'll start another video in 2 hours, and we'll make this one here short, and we'll do the full analysis when it happens later tonight. Based Saxon says, 4 hour stream, please. I mean, the thing is, I don't have 2 hours of conversation to generate out of nowhere like this, but I can share my views on what's to expect. So, unfortunately, this year, we don't have an anti-system candidate. So we are stuck with 2 very establishment candidates. And really, the only reason Trump is really in the race is that Joe Biden is subject to a capricious reaction from the elites, especially the Israeli interest. So... Trump decided to run with, I'm a better servant to Israeli interests than you, Joe. And he's trying to go at the far left of Joe Biden here, where there's a bunch of Democrats who are starting to feel uncomfortable at the idea of supporting Israel blindly. So Joe Biden was not able to support Israel blindly, but he basically supported Israel at 99%. So only symbolically did he push back on the Jews and push back on the genocide they were committing in Gaza right now. So unfortunately, we find ourselves in a situation of, I like Israel. I like Israel more. I like immigration. I like immigration more. I like black people. I like black people more. And I don't see how this can be good for tonight's debate. It's going to be a very black billing debate. And, you know, Trump generally is an entertaining personality in debates, but will he be succeeding at pulling something tonight? Because at this point, we have a technological evolution, literally. CNN was presenting in advance the technology that they have planned to shut down Trump. And they demonstrated with live people speaking in the mics that when they shut down the mic of someone, you literally don't hear the other guy. So they're using directional mics that are impossible to pollute from a distance. So, and they are also using, we heard, a 2 minute, 1 to 2 minutes of advanced streaming. So they will have much more than the standard 7 seconds. Normally it's 7 seconds and the advanced time of streaming. And that allows a technician to intervene if there's something really grave happening. Like if a murder happens on screen, you can push a button and stop the stream. Now, the problem with having 1 to 2 minutes is that you have plenty of time here to have political decisions. And they may very well use this 1 to 2 minute delay to shut down Trump when he starts talking about the theft of the 2020 election. So it will be interesting to see just how blatant they are in their use of this button, because I suspect they will be using. Who needs to avoid mistake? A survey among Democrats, Biden does at 50%. Among Republican, Trump does at 38%. So much confidence and very little confidence on the side of the Democrats for their own leader. So what I expect is that there will be statements by Trump. Now, it's the question of, will Trump try to play the game of the leftist journalism, or will he try to frame himself as a victim? If I was Trump, given that they have paralyzed his speech so much in a way that is unprecedented in the history of debates, by the way, for the whole history of the U.S., for the whole history of debate TV, there's always been an independent commission in charge of reviewing the mics, reviewing that everything was fair. From a political standpoint, is everything fair? They have been dismissed by CNN for this debate. So what we're looking at, legally, if you will, is an entertainment production. It is not something where fairness has been guaranteed by some neutral observer whose job it is to make it fair. So we could have a lot of surprise. So if I was Trump tonight, I would strongly consider victimizing myself. I would strongly consider giving CNN so much trouble, and Trump is very good at this. Trump will force you to show your worst self. That is one of his techniques. Trump will force you to pull out the 14 woman sexual allegations. Trump will piss off the left so much that they end up doing things that's against their interests, like the prosecution, like the legal harassment. So if I was Trump tonight, I might very well insist on talking about January 6th, talking about Democratic theft or voting fraud in a way that guarantees that CNN will do fact checks and will cut him off. And about the mutable microphones, I don't know how he's going to handle this. Would it be too much for him to literally walk toward Joe Biden and start speaking in his mic? That would be seen as extremely unclassy. But it would also stunningly illustrate the ridicule of the CNN strategy, which seems designed to frame Trump tonight. So the rules have never been so loose as they are right now. The setup has never been so disadvantageous as it is right now. So we could see some spectacular fireworks from the conflict between Trump and the deranged leftists who are hosting this. We have Jake Tapper. People were showing videos of Jake Tapper comparing Trump in the past to Hitler. So we have unhinged people making this happen. Ture says, let's hope Biden is in a good mood and challenges Trump to a fist fight. Maybe with dementia, you don't know. I mean, I wouldn't even exclude this. you don't know. Dementia hits hard and it hits relatively quick. And it's very possible that we have already seen Joe Biden progressively fall into dementia. And if dementia is not mastered properly by, very often it's antipsychotics, not because dementia is particularly a psychosis disease, but just because antipsychotics calms them down. What is the medical cocktail on which Joe Biden will have to be tonight to perform well? I mean, we've seen Fetterman after an AVC, CVA, I don't know how it's called in English, but, you know, a cardiovascular accident. We've seen him do a very poor performance and yet be elected. So in modern America, it's not because you perform bad at the debate that you lose. And that is very important to note. People have voted for basically a John Fetterman who literally had the performance of someone who's mentally retarded. So you can be taken by pity by the American public in 2024 in an America of victimization, in an America of special pleading for all special characteristics of everyone, even being old and demented, might not be enough to lose an election. Shamrock Shake says, boomers won't retire and let the next generation take the reins. I mean, of course, boomers are the worst generation in the history of the world. That is my view. They are truly the ones who have seeded the seed of decadence in Western civilization. They are the ones who have transferred from a vertical transmission of culture from parents to offspring into an horizontal pudding swamp of nothingness. And on top of it, they have been so hedonistic in the process that they have, like a blob, they have absorbed everything for themselves, and they have benefited from a real estate market that was totally biased in their favor at the expense of the next generation. So overall, 0 out of 10 is my rating of the boomer generation. There are good boomers. You know, David Duke was complaining against my critique, and he was saying, Jeff, I'm a boomer. Well, you know, don't take it personal. I make a general comment about a cultural ensemble. If the hat doesn't fit, don't put it on. So yeah, David Duke is one of the good boomers. Okay. New guy says 20% gains in the early 80s. Yeah, I mean, the whole inflation scam of the economy that somehow was put really into high speed in the 70s. We can see it on all graphs. That was the result of the boomers being a massive column of age in the US demographics and basically deciding to direct society to their service at the expense of others. Michael Montfort has sent $10 on Entropy. Thank you so much for the support. He says, Jeff, despite your warranted criticism of him, I will certainly still be voting for Trump, as it would be suicidal not to. If Trump loses, they will say he was too extreme. They won't take the opposite lesson that he was too moderate, as those on our side would like to think. I don't judge you on voting for Trump. I don't mind you voting for Trump. To me, as a public personality, my job is to measure the enthusiasm and kind of reflect it. So I would feel bad telling you that right now I'm very excited at a Trump presidency, because I don't think it's the case. And part of our job is also to put leverage, to give a reason for Trump to think about it when he goes to sleep every night. What if I had Nick Fuentes followers voting for me? What if I had an enthusiastic JF talking about me? What if I had this? And, you know, the little piece of the pie. What is my audience impact on the American election? Probably close to zero, you know? So I don't think I have much of an impact, but whatever impact I have, you have to use it cleverly. And you cannot just say, well, Trump, the brand Trump is good. I'm going to throw my effort and money and intellectual enthusiasm toward him just because he's been good before. You have to use it intelligently in a way that keeps him incentivized to serve the interest of his base. And to me, one of the greatest betrayals, one of the no-no in politics is to abandon your main base. And Trump is trying to do this. The main base that led you to win the election in 2016, don't play games with this, never, because they've proven in the past that they were good for you. They've proven in the past that they're enough to elect you. Don't give them a chance to be lazy on the voting day. Don't let them go. And Trump is playing games of surfing toward the center. And I agree, you're right. If Trump loses, they're never going to acknowledge, oh, it's because we didn't have Nick Fuentes on our side. Or we didn't have JF on our side. No, it's not this. What matters is that in the history books, Trump will be reminded, not in the short term, but in the long term, everyone will know that Trump won with 4chan in 2016. And then he lost, and then he lost, and then he lost, you know? This is how it looks in the history books. And I believe that there's no political theory that is more supported than this one. When you abandon your political base, you lose every time. And I've been believing in this for a long time. I've seen Marine Le Pen abandon her political base, started disavowing some people, and disavowing the statements of her own father. And she lost. She lost for a decade since she's been doing this. Now, recently, there's excitement around her in the European election. But it has yet to be demonstrated that she can become a president of France without her base. And to me, one of the most demonstrated things in the history of politics is every time a leader has tried to do this surfing and switching, he's lost too much. Because the votes that you gain by playing the charming game with the black community, think about it from an economic standpoint. Every black vote has a cost. And blacks are not a majority. Jews are not a majority in the U.S., so every time you side more with them, you're giving up more white votes. And the white votes are what led you to win. And it's always what leads a president to win in the end, whether he acquires these votes honestly or by deception. You can't give up the majority of the U.S. Trump is still incapable of saying something like anti-white racism. A concept that at this point is so uncontroversial, it's a mainstream talking point by talking heads at the level of Charlie Kirk. You don't need to go to Papa JF anymore to hear the words anti-white racism. I mean, at this point, Tucker has a recent clip where he kind of denies saying that whites were replaced. He says, no, I said that native-born people are replaced. That includes black people. So Tucker is still playing the game, but he's at the border of saying it. So we have this whole space from the center to the center right to the far right that is all capable of saying a set of words that Trump has still never said. I remember in a speech, he had it in his mind. I remember I saw it in his face. He was thinking about saying anti-white racism. He said, and you know, people talk about discrimination, and let me tell you, sometimes I have the impression that the discrimination is going in the other direction than you know, the usual, than anti-white racism, Donald. Anti-white racism. It's not reverse racism. It's not racism that makes me uncomfortable. It's anti-white racism, and it's a mainstream belief in the left. It's a main motivating factor behind everything you see out there. So the fact that we have, after years of working with this man, of elevating him, of memeing about him, the fact that he's still not at the level of a 4chaner in 2015 is very worrying. And then the fact that he has systematically signaled, I'm going to be very, very pro-Jewish. The Jews need to finish this quick in Gaza. They need to erase the problem. He's been basically bloodthirsty, saliva on the side of the mouth levels of genocidal Trump. So it's impossible for people who have taken very seriously all these fights that we've led across the years to win the culture war. And we won it. We won it to a point where at this point, Elon Musk is putting some of his own money so that we can keep saying it. That's how much we won. We won so hard that Twitter was basically not viable if Elon didn't do what he did, which is to bring us back into the limelight. That's how unavoidable our position is. The fact that Trump cannot even have even a symbolic tap on the shoulder would have worked of any kind. But we couldn't get this. We have a Trump who's talking about great immigration projects, but the immigrants will be of so much higher quality. Oh, we're going to have a process, diploma to green card. And so now we're going to be trusting a bunch of Jewish universities to declare you have your diploma, and this is going to be tied with immigration rights. How will that go? How do you think that will go? It doesn't look good. So to Michael Monfort, in conclusion, I would say it doesn't matter if the political strategics, you know, the people who do strategy don't take it in that they got basically dropped by the true right, and that's why Trump loses. And I'm not saying he's going to lose, but I'm saying if he was to lose, even if they were not to take in the lesson, our fight would continue, and we could crash future presidents in the same way until they get it. But from a management of the country perspective, people were pointing out earlier in the regular chat, Bitcoin. Yes, I'm enthusiastic about Trump's support of Bitcoin. Now, will Trump have the balls to name someone like Vivek Ramaswamy as a vice president? Because Vivek Ramaswamy has been out there making some extreme statements, extreme for someone who would become a vice president. I don't think we've ever had a vice president that says, I want to abolish these departments. I want to totally cut the federal workforce. It's been a while, certainly. I can't remember from my memory, at least in my lifetime, a presidential race where that has been happening. A complete abolition of Department of Education, perhaps IRS, that kind of thing has been discussed. So on that point, yes, it's exciting. It's not enough for me to do a full-throated backing of Trump, because it's very easy, it's very populist, and I'm not sure it's happening. Trump is not a man who makes it happen very much. Trump, from 2016, if I take some of the greatest themes of his campaign, I would say he accomplishes on about a third of what he does. So, drain the swamp. Failure. Absolute failure. Immigration, kind of successful. The Trump management of immigration, aggressive enforcement of immigration, may have been his strongest point performing, alongside the Supreme Court replacement. I think that the Supreme Court replacement was good, but it could have been better because we don't have extremists in there right now. We have a bunch of people who have been extremely shy at supporting any any right, for example, of certain Republican states to sue Democratic states for the shit that they cause in this country. And this would have been important, yet we don't have it. What else? America first. I don't think that Trump has created a true resurgence of manufacturing in America. And that was basically the promise, that he was seeing America as a rebirth of manufacturing. First, when you look at the employment under Trump, the employment has been extremely to the favor of black people. It's amazing. Basically, white people did not benefit from the Trump boom at all. So the voting base of Trump has been betrayed economically. They've basically threw artificial money into the system and they hired artificial employees with it that were not necessary. As we've seen with Elon Musk, these old booms of employment, the kind that leads for Twitter to start as a small company and become a 20,000 employee company, that kind of boom is absolutely artificial and you're paying people who are useless to society. So you can do it, but you just print money and you distribute it in an arbitrary way. And eventually it's going to trickle down to useless people. But I wouldn't say we have had a rebirth of manufacturing in a sustainable way in America. What we had under Trump is a relatively good economy, an inflatable economy, but it was mostly inflated with air and mostly to the benefit of non-whites in the economy. Now, on the Bitcoin side, the fact of having a Bitcoin enthusiast president would be very good. It would be good for all of our crypto. And so, yes, that would be fun, but I cannot fully back Trump on this basis because it's just a personal enrichment thing. And I would want Trump to have integrated some of our ideology, to have given some symbol of support that would make me think that we get more than just a president who will artificially boom the economy, which is what we're going to get again. Now, I benefit from booming economies. So from a personal standpoint, that's great. But I don't think this is fixing the problems of America in a sustainable long-term way. Like, you can throw money at black people and create these categories where they are employed now. Your economy long-term is not doing better because you haven't found something that truly increases productivity of your economy. You're really at a third degree service economy, and oh, there's more people ordering stuff on Amazon and UPS, so you have more UPS drivers, but these people have more money to spend on Amazon because they're given money for doing nothing. And then you end up with situations like Elon Musk acquiring Twitter and showing that Twitter was absolutely operable with 25% of the workforce. That is a good one. Cringe Panda says the public as a whole has trouble seeing maladaptive IDs for what they are. Yes. So those are my thoughts for tonight. I thought that we would get into the analysis of the debate. But the debate is starting in 1 hour 30, according to you guys. So here's what I'm going to do. I'm cutting the live right now. And I'll be back in 1 hour 30 so we can watch the debate together here on Odyssey. So come back in 1 hour 30 from now. Much love, everyone, and see you soon.